Good afternoon, everybody. It is afternoon. We're doing an afternoon show today. 2 o'clock show with the classroom champions. My good friends who are in the SEL, but it's going to be a interesting experience with Ashley Anderson, who's a longtime classroom champions teacher, and Kat Whitman, who's the director of educational programs at Classroom Champions. She'll tell you all about it. ClassroomChampions.org. Okay, and it's just a great program. We've done a number of shows with them, okay, and they're just good folks. You're going to learn a lot about it. It's a great way to look at SEL. But today we're going to talk about the curse, what they call, and I'm going to ask them about this when we get started this, the curse of self-care, okay? We're going to talk why it's a curse, so we're going to see what happens as we go. Well, I just want you to know that we are going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's our home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, okay, ace-ed.org. Join with us if you want, but everything we do over there is free. We have our wonderful magazine called Equity in Access. We have all our podcasts over there. Your voice can be heard. Write for us. Talk to us. Tell us what's going on if you're involved in pre-K-12 education. Again, everything free, no tricks, ace-ed.org. And without further ado, let me bring on my two guests, Kat and Ashley, okay? And I guess we'll start with Kat. Hi, Kat. It's Larry here.
Hi. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. Where are you today?
I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area.
No, I'm glad you're not in San Francisco Bay. That water would be cold about now. So I'm glad you're in the area. It would be, indeed. And you're Director of Education Programs at Classroom Champions. Tell us quickly about Classroom Champions.
Yeah, Classroom Champions is a social and emotional learning curriculum program, and what we do is we use the athlete experience and athlete journey to tell the story of how to use social and emotional learning skills to be an awesome human being. So who better than world-class athletes to talk about things like perseverance and goal setting and teamwork and how to use those things in your daily life to become really successful. So, we use videos. The athletes send in videos, and the kids watch the videos, and they have to do a challenge that the athlete issues at the end of each video that relates to the topic. So it's really giving the kids a way to take the theory and put it into action in their own lives.
It's great stuff, and I do know all about it. I know how wonderful it is, the high quality of athlete, Olympic champions to professionals, et cetera, is really something. Again, everybody, check it out. It's at classroomchampions.org. Almost gave my own website there. I'm so used to that. Classroomchampions.org. And, Kat, just before I get to Ashley, what grades do you recommend that educators use Classroom Champions? From what grade to what grade? Or maybe it's full
K-12? It's K through 8.
K-8, there you go. What happens at 8? They don't like athletes anymore? We got to talk about that. I'm going to talk to Steve, the boss. Find out what's going on there. All right. Okay, I thought you were going to say K-12, but K-8. Okay, we'll go there. Ashley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you beautifully. Where are you?
I am in Medford, Oregon.
How beautiful. That's even better than being in San Francisco Bay.
It is. It's a wonderfully sunny day here today.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I live in Maine, all the way across the country from both of you, and it's beautiful here today as well, so it's a pleasure to be talking all the way across the country. Are you a teacher now, Ashley?
Yes, I am a third-grade teacher at Oak Grove Elementary in Medford, Oregon.
I want you to know that you are talking to the third-grade spelling champion of Lamberton Elementary School in Philadelphia. Quite
that
a while
awesome.
Ago. Yeah, it is. It is. I still remember taking down Joyce Pesco, my classmate, on the word played, P-L-A-Y-E-D. She forgot the E. I took her down and won. Third grade.
That's awesome.
So I guess that obviously imprinted itself on my mind. All right. How are you doing these days with the virtual hybrid? What's going on in Medford?
Yeah, it's been a crazy roller coaster of a year. We're currently full time back in person as of this month. So
Perfect. It's
been wonderful to see the kids coming back and being happy to be there.
Good. It's great. Are you happy to be there too, all the teachers? I hope so.
Oh, of course. We love being with our students and being able to help meet their needs and just,
yeah,
you know, work through the fallout of this past year.
And it'll take some time, okay? And just as I always say to every teacher, you too, Kat, you take a hand, you pat yourself on the back, because every teacher did a hell of a job this year. Okay, we did the very best we could, okay, in crazy times, things we were not trained to do, and yet we did it, okay? We got through, and it's going to get better and better and better as we go. But the pandemic leaves scars, besides the obvious scars of people who are truly affected by the disease health-wise, okay, or lost loved ones, et cetera, whichever way the disease literally hit you. Okay, it hit everybody in many ways. And when I was setting up the show with all the Gang of Classroom Champions, they called it, quote, and this is Dari and Kate, maybe you guys did this, the curse of self-care, the curse. Sounds like a bad horror movie, the curse of self-care. Okay, Kat, I'll throw this to you. Why did you call it the curse of self-care, which quite honestly means we're coming back. We got to figure out ways to get ourselves straight and the kids straight as we move forward here, stay in balance. But why'd you call it the curse, Kat?
Yeah, you know, it is a bit of a curse. And part of it is that the expectations on teachers right now to take care of themselves while they're simultaneously trying to take care of everyone else, it's hard. And it feels like we continually tell them, and what we're hearing from the field, from our Classroom Champions teachers and from the research I'm doing independently, is that teachers are just so tired of hearing, take care of yourself, take care of yourself, take care of yourself.
Well.
But then they still have to get everything done. And so they're not being given the support needed, you know, to take care of themselves, but also get everything taken care of. And in addition to that, teachers are just naturally nurturing people, and they're in a nurturing profession. And so it's usually the default mode that they go into, from my experience personally and from people I'm close with, is, you know, taking care of the kids first. Kids first, me next. And self-care, we're trying to get people to do the opposite. Put on your oxygen mask first to save yourself first before you save the kids. But it's just
I was just going to use that analogy of a flight attendant, okay, or someone sitting with a child. Okay, on an airplane, put your mask on first. And Ashley, you can talk about this. Everybody's had a rough year. Thank you, Kat, by the way. I'll be right back to you. Ash, everybody's had a rough year. Okay, it has been rough. Okay, and the teachers just got back together as well as the kids. All right, you know, I hope they're all vaccinated and everything else. But, you know, we've all been kind of in this together. Are people talking about that, your colleagues? Okay, obviously without mentioning any names, but are they talking about the stress that they've had with this?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. There's just been so much uncertainty for so long and so many changes. I mean, in our district, we went from we're going to be in person, no, we're going to be all virtual, no, we're going to be hybrid. So just all the change on top of all the uncertainty and stress, it's just led to this chronic sort of stress level, and we are talking about it. We're talking about, like, why are we so tired? Oh, it's what we've been dealing with for this extended period of time.
And if they, and as they talk about it amongst themselves, actually, I know that you're not a professional psychologist, okay? But as they talk about it, I'm not asking you that kind of a question, but anecdotally, as teachers talk about it themselves and they realize the stress that they're under, we're just taking one school in Medford, Oregon as an example here. By the way, I think I've had your district on a number of times here on the show, be it your director of ed tech, I think, and also one of your superintendents. Okay, so I'm pretty sure that's the case. Okay, so I'm in good company here with you now. All right, and, are we able to look at the kids and see they are stressed as well?
Yes, I do think so. Now, we've been back in person for a little while, and the kids initially just so happy to be there, willing to, you know, follow any and all safety protocols to make sure that we can be there. And now that it's been several weeks, you know, that initial excitement is sort of wearing off a little bit, and we're facing, like, you know, an extended period of time in this new way of doing in-person school.
Yep.
And it is noticeable with kids just, you know, not having the stamina to, you know, be with all these people all day long after being at home, you know, in more isolation for longer periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely noticing that they're, like you said already, you know, it's going to take a while to come back from all of this stress that has been just continued for so long.
Yeah, it reminds me of someone who just had surgery, and a week after surgery they feel better, so now they're going to go out and play tennis, and the day after mm-hmm. that they're back in the hospital, okay, because they did a little bit too much too soon. They thought they were all better, and they didn't really look that carefully, all right? And I think it's mm-hmm. the same thing here, though. These things, not physically, are more psychological, okay, and they have a lot to do with what we're going to be talking about here. It's social-emotional learning, because it's hard to look at yourself. It's hard to look at others and, you know, realize what's going on. So in light of all this, and Ashley, you are a long time, I don't know how long you could tell us, Classroom Champions teacher. You've been using their program that gets athletes, professional athletes involved for your kids. Have you been using it over this pandemic period, or are you going to use it now? Just talk about that experience with them.
Sure, yes. I've been using it for the past 4 years, so there's other veteran Classroom Good. Champions teachers that have been there even longer, but they've always been set up sort of for the virtual world, with having the video lessons and, you know, online communication between the mentors and teachers and the kids. So that part wasn't like a new stretch for Classroom Champions itself, but just seeing the importance of these lessons become highlighted by the pandemic, and more people are seeing, you know, the definite need for SEL. Just having students know that other people have gone through things and, you know, learn from those things, you know, all the Olympians and Paralympians had to, you know, postpone their longtime goal of getting to the Olympics with it being changed for another year. And just to be able to hear their talk about what they were going through and how to get through it, and the kids knowing, hey, I'm not alone in this. You know, my teacher cares about me, my parents care about me, and this other person, this elite athlete, cares about mm-hmm. me and can help me through these things. So like Kat mentioned, there's, you know, monthly challenges, and each topic is something that really can help kids through any hard time, pandemic or not, with setting a goal. And if maybe that goal during the pandemic is, I'm going to get out of bed and get on my Zoom class and see my friends, you know, or maybe that goal is, you know, something bigger. But just having those lessons to draw from as a teacher was helpful to be able to share with my students. And getting to do a Zoom call where a Olympic or Paralympic athlete gets on the call and talks directly to the kids as part of the Mentorship Plus program is just, how cool is that?
That's pretty damn cool, I got to tell you. Were you able to use Classroom Champions? I think you were, but I just want to clear it up. During this time of virtual learning?
Yes. So even during virtual learning, the kids were at home on Zoom, and the athlete could join us right there on through Zoom. Being able to present some lessons online, whether through a live Zoom call or posted for kids to do on their own time. Classroom Champions has added so many things over this past year that help reach to the kids with SEL Comes Home videos to send directly to the parents, to even help the parents say, hey, you're not alone in this, you know, here's this, and then here's how you can talk about this with your kids. So, yeah, definitely able to use it during virtual learning.
That's cool. And what about, and this is key to this conversation, and I think it's important for educators. We always talk about SEL and mental health well-being for the kids, which is so darn important. We get into more details on that. But it's also important for the teachers. Okay, you said it before, what a terrible, crazy year this was, and how up and down, and up is down, and right is left, and you can go on and on and on with that sort of thing. As you work with the kids on their social emotional learning, does that kind of thing rub off on you and your fellow educators? Do you get the same zip out of it that they do? The same understanding?
I mean, I personally do, and I feel like that's a great point to bring up, that, you know, if I'm not modeling it or practicing it myself, then I'm not really teaching it. It's not something, SEL isn't something that we do to the kids or make them learn. It's this way to create the positive conditions needed for students and staff to, you know, become the best versions of themselves. And so, yes, it definitely rubs off onto the teachers. But it also takes work on the teacher's part. They have to kind of want to let it rub off on them for it to work, I guess.
Of course, like anything else, okay? Like anything else.
Yeah.
You want to do it right. Do you find that when – and I never asked this question before. I talk a lot about SEL, but I never asked this question. Do the kids know that it's social-emotional learning? Do you call it that when you introduce it, or how do you introduce it to the kids as you teach using Classroom Champions in this case, but teaching SEL? How do you introduce it to them? You're a great teacher. You
Is
are.
That question for me?
It's for Ashley.
Okay, so, yeah, I would say
yes,
that.
Yes, the great teacher Ashley Anderson of Medford, Oregon. That's who it's going to.
It's definitely kids. Okay, so let's pause for a second. So you're asking, like, do we just call it social emotional learning? Do kids know that it's called that?
Yes.
And I do think it probably depends on the teacher. Some teachers maybe set aside like a daily or a weekly time of day and say, we're doing Classroom Champions right now, and this is the lesson, and this is a life skill. I think it's often maybe referred to of just, you know, life skills. And but some teachers just weave it into kind of everything they do all day, every day. And the more that we do it, the more that we see that it really part of the bigger picture. And it's all the time, the way we talk to each other, the way that we encourage one another or question things and do that in a respectful way, the social interactions, and so much about emotions, right? Like being able to...
Yes.
Man, I am really worried about taking this math test. I don't know if I'm going to do well, and coping with that and managing those emotions.
I'm still worried about it. I haven't taken a math test for 50 years. Okay, I'm still worried about it. So tell that kid.
Yeah, math is definitely.
Tell that kid that'll never go away. If somebody has to give you a math test when you're 45 years old, you have the same heebie-jeebies. Okay, then move on. It's that simple. Okay, no, seriously. All right. Do you find, and this is the question, as we teach social emotional learning to the kids, that was a good answer, by the way, okay, and I'm going to ask Ashley, then I'm going to ask Kat if she's heard different, okay, Ashley, are the kids more open about their well-being? Are the kids more aware that if they're feeling a little bit off balance, they should maybe tell somebody, okay? You know, we teach them social emotional learning. Okay, we teach them life skills. And do you find that after they go through this, are they more aware of themselves and can share that with someone who might be able to help them if they need it? Have you found anything like that?
Yeah, so, I mean, my experience is with third graders, and they're around 8 and 9 years old. And I definitely see having, you know, taught them these skills and modeled them and worked with them that they do to be able to use the words that they're learning about emotions to talk about it. And, you know, any time that the athlete mentor comes in, they, as far as like in conversation or through video, you know, they're definitely able to say their opinions and thoughts and feelings more so than if we weren't using that, you know, back in
That's
the day,
cool.
I feel like, you know, school was, oh, check your emotions at the door. We're here to learn. And that's shifting. And, you know, I noticed kids coming back to school from having been at home for a year, just, you know, happy and eager and excited to talk about it, and a lot less of just like being mean to each other for no good reason. They want to be together, and they
That's
missed
cool.
out on it for so long that it's to me a noticeable difference. But you know, maybe it's easier the younger they are because you know they don't worry so much about what people think about them. And Kat has a little more experience probably with the older kids.
I think you're right, and you know, and I'll just say this: I taught what was then junior high, now middle school, and those kids wear their emotions on the outside. Okay, I don't know why they have skin, because everything's on the outside. Okay, and skin grows back when they get to high school or something. Okay, and if they're learning these things in third grade though, and continuing, those things are going to happen. Kat, continue on that same line, but I'm curious about something else. You guys have been around for a while, Classroom Champions, but things changed last March when all of a sudden school went virtual, mm-hmm. pandemic. When you all at Classroom Champions talked about all this, okay, did you change things? Did you talk to all your athletes? Did you change your programs, et cetera, to meet what we have realized over the last year, all the changing environment that these kids were going through? Kat?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the things that Classroom Champions tried to do more than anything is listen to our teachers and listen to our athlete mentors and really adapt to their needs. And that didn't change with this event, a long-term event. We offered the teachers, you know, video links that they could share with their kids. So normally in Classroom Champions, the teacher would show the lesson videos as a whole group. So the teacher has the link to the videos, but nobody else does. For this, we gave them password-protected links so that they could actually share that with the students and the students' families instead of relying on having to share it via Zoom, because we know that video mm-hmm. viewing via Zoom isn't totally the best all the time. So giving them the direct access to those videos. We did that for the foundation set of videos, and then anyone in Mentorship Plus, we gave them the same thing for their personal mentors' videos. We also have been using Flipgrid a lot, so trying to find different ways to connect the students to their mentors so that they can do it from home. And we also adapted our unit materials. So the unit materials were created before all of this happened. And so they're meant for in-person learning in close quarters. And as you can imagine, social and emotional learning is a lot of people doing heads together collaborative work. So we had to adapt to that as well. Even the in-person instruction that's happening now has to be socially distant. So what we've done is we've modified all of our unit plans so that we have a distance learning version and a social distancing version. So teachers, whatever the situation is, they have what they need right there to help support that instruction.
Right. It is so important, and we need all the supports we can get for this. So, and Kat, I want to ask you this. So with self-care, to get back to what we really want to talk about here, self-care, all right, and teachers and wellness and being able to talk about things that may be bothering us, okay, it's important for the teachers to kind of role model this, but sometimes that's hard because, you know, teachers like to be a little sometimes separate from their students in that regard, okay? They want to be the rock that the kid can lean on as opposed to having their own situations. And I'm wondering if you've seen a change that teachers are learning to care for themselves and sharing that with their students. Okay, it's a whole different world these days. And admitting and saying, you know, we can discuss this because we're all going through this, et cetera. What are you hearing, Kat?
I think that teachers are definitely being role models. And Classroom Champions teachers are really good at this sort of thing. And part of that is that they have their own community of teachers, of educators that they share with each other. And so they are walking that talk by having this private group where they can come together. And I see it almost daily, where they're making, Ashley's one of the more active people in this group, and, you know, they open up to each other, they ask each other for support, and they're practicing what they preach with each other, and that has to come out in the classroom as well, I would only imagine. And one of the things that we try to encourage in the unit materials is as a teacher, you're sharing part of yourself with your students as you're giving these lessons. So it's never, you know, it's not intended to be, here's what you need to do, student. You need to do this. It's usually opening up with a personal anecdote, opening up with a personal connection to the topic so that kids are seeing that, yeah, I do this stuff too, because that is important. We don't need to get all super emotional and tell them everything we're feeling and everything we're thinking, but an intentional vulnerability is really important, and I think that that's something that we try to really foster within the curriculum.
Yeah, and that word vulnerability, we're all vulnerable. Okay, none of us are Superman, mm-hmm. and if we can get that point across, I think it makes people feel a lot better. Self-care strategies, okay? Who wants to do that, the amazing Kat Whitman or the equally amazing Ashley Anderson? Yes, Kat.
I can take it. That's fine. Self-care.
Or?
I think for my opinion on self-care strategies is it's really, really personal. And so I would have a hard time prescribing anyone self-care strategies that work for me because they're mm-hmm. what work for me. Like, for I really love to just unwind with video games. I'm a grown-up who plays video games. And that's how I take care of myself, and I'm okay with that. But I know
Great.
That my husband hates video games, so I would never tell him to take care of himself by sitting down with his Switch because that he would hate it. I think that in general, though, getting outside is pretty universal.
Yeah.
If I don't take a walk, like I've been doing as the pandemic has been rolling on, I go take a walk at lunchtime, and if I don't actually get outside and do that, I feel it. I feel it in my bones. I feel it in my mental state. And I just think getting that little tiny hit of fresh air, even if it's just for 5 minutes, just taking a step outside is so incredibly important. And then just reminding yourself to breathe. And I know that that sounds silly, and you've probably heard it 1,000 times before, but I actually have a post-it note on my monitor, on my computer monitor, that says, breathe, it'll be okay. And I actually refer to it. I referred to it right before this podcast. I was like,
I don't think it's silly. I don't think it's silly at all. In fact, I will tell you something interesting. There is a whole new book out you should read, and it's called Breathe. Okay, and it's about humans and how they breathe, okay, and the problems we have with the style that we breathe. It's not silly at all, okay, and
yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm not talking about, just take a breath and relax. That's not what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about literally, physically, the way we breathe. Okay, that simple, okay? So I think you're dead on, and I love that. What about Ashley, okay? You're the teacher, mm-hmm. okay? Self-care. Summer, here we are back at school. Oops, summer's coming. When's summer hit in Medford? When does school end?
We end school about probably first week of June, so mid-June. In summer swing, and we get a couple months of nice, warm, sunny, sometimes super hot weather.
Okay.
And I think it's super important for teachers to just make sure that during summer that they actually do take some chunk of time as an actual break away from thinking about teaching or their students or their students' lives or what curriculum mapping type work we do. Just even if it's just a weekend, but take a certain amount of time to just completely turn it all off.
I agree with
you. And kind of, hit that reset button so you can get a fresh start the next year. You know, I, of course, would think we should do that every weekend, just take at least a certain amount of time.
Nothing wrong with that either.
We're tied to screens.
Okay? Tied to screens. And it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
And this is, but walking outside, you're not kidding. Okay? Kat, you were right. You know, you got to get away from that and give yourself a break and all that. And with the teaching, it's really been nonstop. Okay, it's been absolute nonstop. Okay, because nobody knows what in the heck they're doing. Okay, and we all just did our best. It's true that we all just did our best. Okay, and you could never be satisfied with that. Okay, and few teachers were satisfied with it. They did the best they could, but they weren't satisfied. And you got to just take a breath, walk away, and pat yourself on the back, okay, and just be resilient. It's that simple. Ladies, we got to go. I thank you for this. Your insights are perfect, I got to tell you. Ashley, good luck at school this year.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I hope you had a good time. And Kat, thank you. It's wonderful to meet you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Both of you, take care of yourselves, please. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Ashley Anderson, Medford, Oregon. Okay. Kat Whitman, who's the Director of Educational Programs at ClassroomChampions.org. This is good stuff. Okay. Please go over there. Check it all out. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. That's our American Consortium for Equity in Education. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Go over there. Enjoy our magazine. Listen to any podcast you want to see all the information we have. Thanks for listening.